Okay, so part two of our introduction to Hilchos Shabbos. We'll begin with the topic of Kalah HaYad, what we call a Shinui. So, the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, if your motzi kilaachar yado biraglo b'fiv uvemarpeko ba'ozno v'sa'or v'findasa uvefiyash lamata bein pundasa l'chaluko v'svas chaluko minol v'sandalo potter shelo hotzi kederech hamotziim. You carried out in an abnormal way, so you're not chayav. So this we know is a chesaron malach machsheves. And that's why when the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah Kuf Gimel Aleph says, HaKosev Shteyosios Bein B'Yamino Bein B'Smolo, the Gemara says, of course you're talking about B'Sholeit B'Shteyadav, because you shouldn't be Chayav if you're right-handed for writing with your left-handed, because it's unusual, it's a Shinui, it's Kalachar Yad. So the Chelkas Machokek in Evan Ezer, it's in Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel Se'if Aleph. The Chalkas Mechokek notes that a get that was written with someone's left hand is kosher, even if that person was right-handed. So the question is, what's the difference between the get, which is kosher, even if it was written Kalachar Yad, versus the Mishnah that we just mentioned from Kuf Gimel, where you're not chayav on Shabbos if you write Kalachar Yad? So lechor, the obvious difference is melechus machsheves. However, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chav Dalam and Beis tells us that kol yisurin shemet Torah ein lokin aleim ela derech hanaaso. So, for example, if you took chaylev of a shor haniskol and smoothed it over a wound that you had, or achal chaylev chai, etc. The Gemara has a discussion there whether it's kederach achilaso or after it's kederach hanaaso. But the point is that we do see that when even it comes to Macholas Asuros or Isuri Hana, the norm does matter. And similarly, the Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis of somebody who moves backwards into the Bayis Hamanuga is not Tamei, as long as they're not fully in. And the question is, what's the difference? So here you have this incredibly fantastic and awesome chiluk of the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal tells us in the Psicha here in Os Gimel, Biruin Shol Dvarim, he says, Malacha Kalachar Yad, Yesh B'Shnei Ofanim. You have the where the Malacha Atzma is Bilti Nif'eles Karoi, where it's Shino Be'echas HaNifal, versus when you have Malacha Kalachar Yad, where it's only B'Shino Be'echas HaPoel, Levad, V'lo Be'echas HaNifal. Says the Halakha Sochat Shavar, he says that when you talk about a shinui be'echas hapoel, since just the avenue, since the mode or the method was unusual, but the result, the desired result was the same, so then the result is the same. In Kol HaTorah Kula, that's not going to be anything unusual. That's going to be normal. But on Shabbos, where we have the higher threshold, where we require it's melechus machsheves, even though the desired result is the same, but since the manner was unusual, that also qualifies as a shinui. In Kol HaTorah Kula, however, we also accept the concept of shinui, but that's only when the shinui is be'echos hanifal, in that which is resulting. So if you take chaylev of a shor haniskol and you put it on a wound, so that the result is abnormal. The normal result of chaylev is it's used in cooking. It's not used in treating wounds. Or achal chaylev chai, you ate something, the desired destination of chaylev chai is not to be eaten in its current state. That's totally an abnormal result. As opposed to the get, which was written biyad smol, so the Sachet Shavar says that evidently the sofer who wrote it was Ma'amen Yadav. He sat carefully and he wrote it very deliberately so that the result of the get was akin to had it been written in his right hand, and therefore it's only eshinu be'echas hapoel, not eshinu be'echas hanifal, and therefore it's kasher with a get. When it comes to the nichnas and the bayis hamenuga, there it's fascinating that it's actually the act of entering which is the nifal. That's the object of the process, not just the subject, and that's why nichnas lebayis hamenuga backwards shelo kederech biyaso, so you don't become tamei. So a couple of outliers in the world of kelachar yad. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamitesam and Aleph The Gemara in Shabbos tells us Lamed Tesem and Aleph. Tells us that Bishol Bechama Kuli Alma Lo Pligi Deshari. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to do Bishol Bechama. So Rashi there says, why? Rashi says, Deshari De'ein Derech Bishol Bekach Vechama Be'ur Lo Michlefa, the ligs are Atu Ha'atu Ha, as opposed to the Toldos Ur, we're concerned you're going to confuse them with Toldos. Toldos Chava is going to get confused with Toldos Ur. So wait a second. Why is it that Bishul Bechama is Mutter? Shouldn't that be Kalach Haryad? And Kalach Haryad is not Mutter L'chatchila. It's only Potter Abel Aser, right? If you carried out in an abnormal fashion. If you wrote with your left hand. And similarly, the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chaf Aleph Siv Zayin quotes from the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch quotes that it's Mutter Lodach Pilpulin, you're allowed to grind a pilpulin, even a lot together, if you use the kata de sakina and a ka'ara. It's based on a kata de sakina with the handle of your knife, which is which is permitted because the Torah writes there. Why? Because it's Derech Shinui. So the question is, why does the Shinui make it Heter Gamor? So one answer, and this appears in the Beis Yosef there in Shin Chaf Aleph, in the name of the Shiboli Aleket, he says that usually you're supposed to use a Modach Shal Evan. And when you go to a Modach Shal Eitz, that's a shinui. When you go from a shinui, from a modoch shal eitz to a shinui of a kata to sakina, that's called shinui gamur. Shinui gamur, and that's mutter. And maybe you can make the same argument in the context of the bishul bechama. It's such an unusual thing. It's a shinui gamur, therefore it's mutter l'chatchila. But says the Halakha Sachachavar in Meleches Ofe, in Mem Dalid Dalid, he says, you know what these both are? These are examples of a shinui be'echas hanifal. It's not just a shinui be'echas hapoel. That's obvious. The chiddush is that these are the higher level shinui. It's a shinui be'echas hapoel, and it results in a shinui be'echas hanifal. If you grind up peppercorns with the back of a knife, that's not just an abnormal way of grinding. You're going to be left with ground peppercorns that are not ground in a fashion that resemble ground peppercorns that are ground in a mill. And therefore, it's mutter l'chatchila. Similarly, if you do bishul bechama, not only is the act of cooking done in an abnormal fashion, the product of an egg that's cooked in direct sunlight is going to be substantially, significantly, noticeably different than the product cooked either in a fire or in toldos ha'ur, and that's why these outlying cases are even mutter l'chatchila. Yeah. Yes?
Why can't they
just
say what you want to do when they're making the shell?
Yes?
And they go to the shell and they
Right. Right. The question of dragging the bench was not a function of kalachar yad. Right. We didn't say that that was a shinui.
Yes, the master said that gives the point that it is melachad erbanan. And because of that, Rabbi Shimon matir. Is there a rabbin under
it? Which one? A chavtes? Let me go back. Hold on. Let me go back. One second. Mem Vav Lid Beis. Hold on. Yeah, the Gemara concluded that it's kilo mechav and sharib shimel chatchila. Yeah. So what's the question?
The question is we see that the Rabbi Shimon would admit that taking the chair that's in melachad rabbanan. Also, it is eichu b'shun b'shun enifa because it is sure that men take with the.
Right, that was in the Havamina where the Gemara distinguished between Darabana and Daraisa. The Gemara concluded that Reb Shimon allows it even on a Daraisa level. Right, Shari Reb Shimon Lechatchila, even on a Daraisa case, which was the case of Mochrei Ksus. Right? So, what Yoav is pointing out is that in the case of the Chofer Guma, Rashi there says that you're not going to be chayv anyway because it's kalachar yad. But that's not the motivation. That was just the havamin of the Gemara. The conclusion is that the reason for Reb Shimon is because it's davar shein miskaving.
And it is if I put the chair like that's
yeah, that's what he says. Goer adam mita kisiv asafso. Right? So what Yoav is pointing out is that in the havamin of that Gemara, the Gemara thought that maybe Reb Shimon's Shita was limited to cases where it's only Darabanan. Why is it Darabanan over there? Because Gorer, Kisei, and Mita is an abnormal way of doing Choresh. But the Gemara's conclusion is that that's not relevant. It happens to be true that if you do a Malacha, Kalachar Yad, it's only Pater, it's not Chayav, but the motivation for Reb Shimon is because Davar Shein Miskavein, and he thinks that's Motel Lechatchila. Okay? That's number one. The next topic we mentioned was the topic of Misasek. So Misasek is a challenging topic to define, because if you look in the Gemara increases in Daf Yutes, the Gemara presents several machlokas in the Mishnah of exactly what falls under the Prat, the Asher Chataba, and then the Gemara concludes with a statement about Misasek. That Misasek is not a problem. This is Croesus Yutes Amud Aleph. The Gemara concludes that the Machlokas Rebbe Lez Rebbe Yeshua there in the Mishnah that Rebbe Yeshua is Poter, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's Afilin Eskabin Lilko Te'inim Velikit Anavim, Anavim Velikit Te'im, Shchorus Velikit Levanos, Levanos Velikit Shchorus, Rebbe Lez Machayiv Chatas Rebbe Yeshua is Poter. So we have a Gears Rebbe Shimon. Others have been geared. So Reb Shimon says, "Tmehani and Poter by Rabbi Yeshua. It can't be that Rabbi Yeshua was Poter there." Imkain lama nemar asher chataba. So Gemara's conclusion is the Mishnah's answer is no. Prat lemisasek. So the Gemara on Amud Beis sets up a distinction of misasek demai. One option is misasek b'chalav v'arayos ischayv shekeinena. So the Gemara says, well, it's mishkachas lachdoch es hatolosh v'chotach es hamechubar. Abaye says it's neskavin lahagbias atolosh v'chotach es hamechubar. So Tosfos here in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, as well as in Sanhedrin, the Tosfos in Sanhedrin was.
Remember, 1 second.
Tosfos in Sanhedrin was, where was it? I didn't write it down. Hold on. Shabbos is in Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, Diba Maska, Niskavin Lahagbia. Tosfos in Sanhedrin is in Samach Beis, Amud Beis. Where Tosfos says, you should know that it's true in Kol Torah Kula, Misasek is Pater. But Misasek, the Ptur Misasek in Kol Torah Kula, is less encompassing than the Ptur of Melechas Machshavas. Meaning, the Ptur on Shabbos of Misasek is different because you add the component of Melechas Machshavas. And Tosfos says, this is the distinction. The Gemara says in Krisus, and there also in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Beis and Mid Beis, that we have this machlokas between Abai and Rava. What happens if a person intended, here, imagine, look, I have two items here. I'm looking down at a bunch of flowers sitting in a row on a low table near the floor. And I think that these flowers are in a vase. If they're in a vase, there's nothing wrong with picking them up on Shabbos. And there's nothing wrong even with cutting one and picking it up, although, you know, you have questions about machatech and muktzah. But in principle, you should be able to pick up the flower or cut the flower. So you reach down, here's my flower. I reach down, I take my scissors or a knife for whatever reason, or my fingernail, and I just cut the top of the flower. I'm going to bring it to somebody. It's not a problem. But then I realize, oh my gosh, it turns out that that flower was not in a vase. It was actually attached to the ground. So I violated tolesh or kotzer. So Rava says, I didn't even have any kavana to do kotzer. I was just picking up something from a vase. It turns out that it wasn't. And Abai says, no, since you had intention for cutting, that's intention to do a Maisa Avera, and therefore the only way you'd be potter for Misasek is if you lifted it up. If you had Kavana for Tolesh, not for Chotech. Yeah. I'm just going to pick it up. I have a flower on the ground. I plan to pick it up, not to cut it. That's the Ptur of Misasek. But if you had Kavana to cut it, even if you thought you were cutting something that was in a vase, you're cutting, Abai says, you're thinking about cutting, that's called enough of a Kavana for a Malacha, even though you thought you were cutting something that was in a vase. So Tosfos says, this whole discussion, this machlokas between Abai and Rava, is all in the context of one flower. I thought this flower was in a flower pot. I thought it was in a vase. It turns out, it's not. But what if, says Tosfos, I had kavana to cut this flower, and I cut a different flower. I had kavana to cut this flower because this flower was, I was thinking, was in a vase. And it turns out, I cut a different flower. So Tosfos says, in that case, even Abai agrees that you're potter. Yes, so Tosfos adds, that in this case, even if you had kavana to cut something b'mechubar, and you cut something else b'mechubar, you wanted to do an actual malacha on Shabbos, that's pater. Why? Because it's lo nasis machshavto. And what is that akin to? That's similar to a Gemara that comes up later on on Daf Tzadi Zayin, where the Gemara discusses throwing something, niskaven lizrok. It's on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Niskaven lizrok shmona vizarek arba. Harikosav Shem Bishimon, Niskavin Lizrok, Arba Vizorak Shmonim Mahu. It's the Gemara that Rishonim discuss what the case is, Bom Kol Mokom Shatir Tzatanuach. But what's the underpinning of this idea that if I plan to throw it 4 amos and it went 8 amos, I plan to do a malacha of throwing? I knew I was doing a malacha of throwing. It just happens to be that instead of throwing 4 amos, I threw 8 amos. Well, the answer is since it wasn't Nasis Machshavto, that is a lack of Malachas Machshavis. And therefore, you're going to be pater, similar to this case. So the concept of misasik takes on a new dimension when it comes to Shabbos because it's lacking nasis machshavto of melechis machshavis. The other answer that Tosfos adds there in Sanhedrin is that perhaps the other way to look at the added chiddush of melechis machshavis in misasik is that when it comes to Shabbos, misasik is pater even if you were nana. The Gemara said increases your testament base that Misasik Bachalov Varayos is Chayav Shekeinen. So says Tosfos, yeah, that's true in Shari Surim. This is that Tosfos in Sanhedrin. But B'Shabbos Pater Alpha Pishanene Mishum Melechas Machsheves. So we see that Melechas Machsheves affects the way that you do the Malacha, meaning the Kalach HaYad Shinoi question, and it also affects the mind question in terms of misasik. Okay? Let's move to topic number 3, which is something that's going to also come up on occasion. And that is the Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. The Mishnah here is talking about, in Parakol Kisvei, it's talking about extinguishing. So the Mishnah says, you set up a series of barriers of barrels, even if they're full of water. Why? Because when you put the barrels there, you're going to set it up so when the water gets there, it will smash and it'll be a heter of grama. And this is the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis Lameimer Drabbanan Savri Gram Kibui is Mutter. And the Gemara has a discussion about Shitz Rabbi Yossi, about whether Rabbi Yossi says Gram Kibui is Mutter and Aser, because he assers using Klei Cheres Chadashim. Mutter. Gram Kibui is Mutter. Lameimer Drabbanan Savri Gram Kibui is Mutter. You're allowed to do it even Lachatchila. So you see from here that on Shabbos, gram malacha is mutter, and the Gemara has a discussion also about other things like gram machikas Hashem. Here in Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara also has a discussion elsewhere. In certain cases, gram is more chamer, like gram sirus. Discussion. But grama is mutter. So the question is, what constitutes grama on Shabbos? So there is a comment. If you look in the Shailos and Tshuvos Beis Yitzchak from Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes in Orach Chaim and Simon Nun Zayin, who says, he quotes from a Tshuvos Zera Emes discussing the inyan of Kli Lachabas HaDeleika, and 4 people arrive with pipes, and then the water is going to go through the pipes, so that he says lo have hamaviim ragram kibui. He asks about a gemara, which we'll get to in a second. He says, "Lo hecha de lo avid ma'ase b'shas malacha rak la'achar zman al yedei oso ma'ase garam shete'ase malacha mikri grama." Aval kishe osa malacha lefu'ulaso af al pi shenases b'siyu atover acher hudumya dezore ulefize ha'telegraph de la'achar zman nase malacha b'koach acher ulai mikri grama aval guf hadavar tzarachiyan. What about a telegraph? Is that malacha or is that grama? Well, he says, if the definition of grama is that I do an action now, but the malacha doesn't happen until later, so then perhaps the telegraph would be grama. When I put the barrels of water down, there's no fire next to them, and it doesn't extinguish them immediately. So eventually, the water gets here, and then it becomes extinguished. So there is a time lag, and perhaps that's why there is no violation. That's why it's only called grama. And there's a further discussion about this in the Shals and Chuz Nachiezer in Chela Gimel Simen Samach, who quotes a question of, number one, maybe it depends on your kavana, but the other issue that he mentions there has to do with the question of Vadai versus Suffolk. In the case of the barrels, it's possible that the water won't ever be used to extinguish the flame. Maybe the flame will blow in a different direction. Maybe something else will happen. But at first glance, right, the idea that gram malacha is mutter has something to do with this idea of distance of time. However, there is a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, says, Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Aleph. Mark's talking about a case. What? Achiezer was Simon Samach, Chela Gimel Simon Samach. Sounds like it's mutter. Sounds like the Gemara says gram kibui is mutter.
Right.
So the Gemara says libov lipsa haruach samach amar aleph. What happens if you blew a flame and the wind came and blew the flame and then it traveled? What's the din in that case, right? Because we're talking about, what's the context here? What's the context in Bava Kamma? Right, Nezek. So this is the violation of Eish. Rav Schechter pointed out, I mentioned it in passing last time, he pointed out based on the Tosfos earlier, just a parenthetical point that I mentioned in the last Chabur. Tosis in Bava Kamma, Chav Bezim and Aleph Dira Maskal, Isha Mishim Chitzav. We're not talking about arson. If I take a torch and I take your laptop and I torch your laptop with my flamethrower, that's not Isha Mishim Chitzav. That's Adam Amazik. We're talking about a case where I lit a fire and then I blew the fire, or I fanned the fire, and then the fire traveled. Or I was negligent, and then the fire traveled on its own. Okay, so we're not talking about direct arson. I lit a fire, I have my barbecue grill, or I have my fire pit in the backyard, and the fire got out of control. So what happens if when I lit the fire, it was not dangerous at all? It wasn't dangerous. And all of a sudden, a wind came or somebody else came and blew it. So then I'm not chayav, because I had a fire that was totally controlled, but if somebody else came and blew it, then they're responsible. Or if the wind came and blew it, it's not my responsibility. So again, there you have to always check, you know, depends how strong the wind was, etc. But the Gemara has the following question, which is going to get into the details of this. Tana Rabbanan, liba v'libsa haruach. I lit the fire pit in my backyard, and the wind came and blew it. Im yesh boli buyav kedei lalabosa chayav. If there was enough in my fire, it was so hot, it was so out of control when I left the fire unattended, that it was always and inevitably, unavoidably going to burn the next guy's thing, so then I'm chayav. But vim lav pater. If I left it in a controlled manner and the wind came and blew it, so then the Gemara says, I'm not chayav. The Gemara wants to know why. Am I lahavi kizore viruach mesayaso? Why isn't it like a case of meleches zore on Shabbos? What's zore? Where I take chaff and wheat that are mixed together, I fling them into the air, and because the chaff is light, it blows away in the wind, and what settles are the kernels that are good. So the wind helped me accomplish my goal. So just like in Shabbos, I am chayov, because it is considered as if I accomplished my goal, I, the person, have done the action, I'm chayav on Shabbos. So too, if the wind blows my fire, why aren't I considered to be chayav? Because the wind is just helping me accomplish my goal. So the first answer of the Gemara is, no, they're going in different direction. Liba mitzarecha v'lipsa ruach mitzar acher. Rava says, I'm blowing it that way, and the wind blows it the other way. Yeah, I'm blowing the fire that I'm fanning it. It should go east, and the wind blew it west, and lit the things in the west. So I'm going to be putter. That's not me. That's obviously the wind, and not me, because I'm blowing it in the other direction. Rava says what we alluded to before. It depends on whether it's ruach metzur, ruach ena metzur. Rav Zera says tzimure tzamre. But then the Gemara concludes. Ravashi says ki aminan zore v'ruach. Misayaso hani mili leinyan Shabbos, the meleches machshevas asr Torah, aval hacha grama ba'almahu, the grama benizakin is pater. This is called grama ba'alma, and grama benizakin is pater. If I light a fire in my backyard, according to this last teretz, even if it had the capacity to burn on its own, but lemaisa, the cause of the burn was the wind coming and whipping it up right away, right, immediately, without having a chance to burn on its own. In that case, I'm potter, because it's called grama. Rashi, meleches machsheves, niskaima machshavto, denichale beruach misayaso. So this is the first time that we've seen the concept of meleches machsheves being used to create a chiyuv. If you look in the Rosh there, he says, "Dehasam meleches machsheves asr Torah, af al pi de lo havi ela grama ba'alma, bahachi chiyuv haTorah keva de melacha zu ikar asiyasa al yedei ruach." What's that? That what? So it's a little bit different. Rashi sounds like it was more niskaima machshavto. The Rosh says, "Ikar asiyasa ayidei haruach." The Rosh says, "Hasa meleches machsheves asr Torah, af al pi delo havi ela grama ba'alma, bahachi nonetheless chiva Torah." Why? Keva de melacha zu ikar asiyasa ayidei haruach. Avalacha grama ba'alma, grama b'nizakin pater. It sounds like since meleches machsheves defines the malacha, and the malacha here is ikar asa yedei haruach, so then that's adequate. So if Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, he says, look at this case. This appears both in, this is in the, an essay in Be'ekve Atzon in Simen Zion, and it's also in a piece in Nefesh HaRav on page 169. He says, wait a second. What does it mean in the Gemara that Melech is Machsheves Asr Torah, and therefore, even though it's a Grama, it's going to be Asr? But we said that Grama is Mutar on Shabbos. So So he says, here's the difference. The difference is not a question of time. It's not an issue of time. It's an issue of, is the other force that you are harnessing existing already at that moment? Meaning, when you light the fire, right now, the wind is not gusting. The wind is going to gust in a few moments, and then it's going to blow the fire over. So that's a grumma, because right now there's no wind. The wind is going to come later. But what happens in the case of Zoreh? In the case of Zoreh, the wind is already there. When you throw the kernels up in the air, you are harnessing the natural force that already exists. That's called Koach Achar Me'urav Bo. And the Koach Achar Me'urav Bo is considered an extension of you. Perfect. So what about the case of the water? So there is, let's look at that case. So as a mashal, there is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Kafto Umeis Barav Potter, V'Amar Rava, Kafso Bechama Umeis Betzina Umeis Chayav, Sof Chama Lavo, Sof Tzina Lavo, Potter. If you tie somebody down and it's nighttime in the desert, so right now there's no force that's acting upon the person that's going to kill them. And the fact is, they may die later on, but right now, what I did is only considered to be a grumma.
There's not a stop.
What's that?
There is not a stop.
Right, but there's nothing else. There's no force that is currently active. As opposed to, if I tie him down in the sun, even though he won't die for a little while, the sun is already burning down on the person. It's already hot. That's called harnessing the Koach Achar Me'urav Bo.
Why didn't the Rush suggest this? Huh?
That what?
The Rush says, that's how Zoreh is done. And he could have said, here the wind's not here yet. But was there?
I have to think about it some more. I'm not sure that it fits so well with the Rush. Rav Shapta does discuss this in Os Vav in that piece. I'm not sure that it fits so well with the Rush. It might fit better with Rashi. So, Tosfos there in Sanhedrin Tosfos there in Sanhedrin, in Dibra Maskil, Sof Chamalovo, adds a parallel case here. Nafla Sakin Miyodo Vishokat Shkitaso Psula, Vidayik Time of the Nafla Hahi Pilo Ukshera, Raman, Krebnasan, the low boy Kavana. It's Kasha. Nafla Lami, Lahaviki Piloman Dharma Ishamisham Kitsav, etc. So, here it is, at the end of Tosfos. Tosfos says that there is a difference between koach and koach kocho. Meaning, there is a difference between the result of your action and the result of the result of your action. Koach rishon versus koach sheni. Where do we find this? We find this elsewhere in a case where a person would remove the entrance of a dam and the water came down and murdered someone and washed them away and drowned them. So the Gemara says that if I pick up the entrance to the dam and the water comes and in the first gush it kills the person, so in that case he's chayv misa. But if it's the person is tied down further along the river and the first gush comes and then it doesn't reach him yet, and then after a while it reaches the person, so the Gemara says that you're not chayv, that's called koach sheni, that's koach kocho. So some suggest that the distinction is that, wait a second, in the first case that's a maisa, and the second case it's grama because it happens a while later. Shechta says no, in the case of ritzicha it's different, and the same thing in shchita and netilas yadayim, you require koach gavra. So for koach gavra, we're going to distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni. But for purposes of a maisa versus grama on Shabbos, there's no difference between koach rishon and koach sheni. As long as you're harnessing the pre-existing, the koach achamur of bo, therefore it's called a malacha. This is Rav Soloveitchik's chiddush. So therefore, the telegram would be a problem. And this is what Rav Shechter quotes in the essay, that a lot of kulas that people have today about grama, according to Rav Soloveitchik, have a different standard. Let's say a Shabbos clock. So in general, if you set something up on a Shabbos clock on Erev Shabbos, is that mutter? So the Rav Moshe was very upset about this. Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet Simen Samach was very unhappy with Shabbos clocks in general. It was matter them just bekoshi. Chelek Dalet Simen Samach. He says, what's that? Yeah, he's talking about lights here. He's very upset about it because of Zilzel Shabbos and what it's going to allow. But Me'ikar Adin, the Malacha is considered to have been done when I set the Shabbos clock on Friday. What about a Shabbos clock on Shabbos? What about setting a Shabbos clock on Shabbos? So on the one end, you could say, well, if the Malacha takes place La'achar Zman, I move the pin now and it's not going to affect anything for another hour. Especially if, you know, there's the Magen Avraham who distinguishes in the case of removing an impediment versus doing a Maisa B'guf HaDavar. So maybe a Shabbos clock should constitute a Grama. So Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, who disagrees. Because in the case of the Shabbos clock, the pins and the whole apparatus is already moving, tick, 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 like this. When you adjust the pins, you're just affecting an already integrated system. You're harnessing the Korach HaKam Uruv Bo, that's like using the already blowing wind, and therefore it's no longer a grama. So the definition, according to Rav Soloveitchik, for grama is whether or not you are harnessing a koach achar ma'uruv bo that already is in existence, versus you are putting water out in a barrel, and the flame may or may not come to you, but that's not harnessing the koach achar ma'uruv bo. You're just putting bottles of water here, and the fire, if it comes along, and it comes along, you're not using that force. That's more similar to sof chamalavo. It's more similar to tying the person up at night.
Why isn't that what you're talking
about? So I think Rav Schechter assumes that since the sun doesn't yet exist, so to speak, here, you can't say that you're harnessing that force because it's not here.
Yeah, that's got to be way more reliable than my shop's clock.
Okay, it's a good point, but I guess on some level, in the case of the Shabbos clock, the system, the ticker is already ticking now, versus in the other case, sof chamalavo, right now it doesn't exist, and that's why the Gemara says that you're potter. I guess it's not a question of reliability, dependability. It's a question of the presence of that force already right now. In the case of
the...
What's that?
System in a Shabbos clock is separate. It has one system that's running a clock, and then there's another system that allows electricity to go through based on pins. But that's two separate systems that have their function in heaven.
Well, they're... You're...
The sun is also. The earth is spinning, and then there's a sun that we're beating, and then once we get there, it's going to go. The earth is a giant clock.
So okay, so that was Yitzi's question.
Right.
And but you see from that Gemara that Sof Chamalavo is not the same. It's not called a Maisa Ritzicha, even though Lamaisa, we know that the sun is going to come. Lamaisa, it's not there now, as opposed to the case of the system that's set up and the Shabbos clock, which is turned on already.
In the case of Sof Chamalavo, isn't that a case of Ritzicha where you have a question of koach?
Yes.
So, even if the system is already set up, isn't it not koach gavra?
Why would I have it in there?
Right, but meaning the distinction between koach rishon and koach sheni, I hear what you're saying. You're pointing out there's two different issues here. The first issue is that to be considered a Maisa, my Maisa, you need Koach Achar Ma'uruv Bo immediately. Right? That has to be already there. That's number one. Number two, in the case of the... And that's the distinction, the Gemara, between the Chama being there versus the Chama not being there. The second distinction, in the case of removing the Bidka de Maya, is to say that in that case, the tank of water is full, so the koach achar ma'uruv bo is already there. And so therefore, it doesn't matter, for Rav Soloveitchik, it doesn't matter whether or not, for Shabbos purposes, the malacha, let's say the grinding, happens in the first gush or in the second gush, because the koach achar ma'uruv bo is already there. It's just that it can't be called ma'isa ha'adam if it's on the second step. That's the difference.
Okay.
You hear the... Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Rav Schechter's Ha'ara when it comes to Grama from Rav Soloveitchik. So far, so good. So we had Kalachar Yad, Misasik, Grama. And now just a couple more words about Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. So last time we mentioned that there was a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about the definition of Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. And Tzadi Dalam Man Aleph, that Rashi says that Ein Tzricha L'Gufa means it's something that's bothering you, it's annoying you, and Tosfos says that has nothing to do with whether or not Britzona Bolo or not, it has to do whether it follows the pattern of the Mishkan. So there is a related machlokas to this in the Gemara on Kuf Vav Aman Aleph in the context of Mekalkel B'Chabura. The Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Abo and Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Abol says, Kol makal klum b'turin chutz michov l'mavir, and Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Puk tani lebra. Rashi says that this machlokas is totally on the machlokas of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. How so? Rashi explains that just like Ein Tzricha Legufa is not considered a malacha for Rabbi Shimon, because the tikkun that exists on the side, the external tikkun, the kavana that you want, there's some sub, you know, there's some ancillary benefit. That ancillary benefit doesn't define the malacha. The case was, for example, where I have a mace that's, you know, Rahman al-Islan, sitting in the person's home, sitting at their dining room table. And it's not Kavod Shabbos to have Suda Shabbos with the person who's sitting there. It's the corpse, you have to take it out. So Rashi says, I just want to be misalik that corpse. So you have done the ancillary malacha, the unintended, the acknowledged but not interested malacha of Hutzah. So Rashi says, well, since that's secondary, Reb Shimon says that's not chayiv. That's called Ein Tzricha Legufa. So what that says is I have primary and I have secondary. For Rabbi Yehuda, secondary matters. He says Ein Tzricha Legufa is chayiv. For Rashi, Rabbi Shimon says Ein Tzricha Legufa is pater, because secondary is not primary, right? It's different than Davar Sheni Miskaven. Davar Sheni Miskaven is Mutar L'Chadchila, Ein Tzricha Legufa is Pater, it's Pater Aval Aser. So Rashi says, what happens in the case of Mekalkel? So Rashi says, Bryce Reb Shimoni, because Ein Tzricha Legufa is Pater Al Lehilkach, Ein Lecha Chov L'Mavir She'ein Mekalkel. And even though there is some ancillary tikkun, let's say if I'm burning wood for my fire, the ancillary tikkun is I'm heating my pot, but my primary activity is destroying. Well, if according to Reb Shimon, the ancillary component doesn't matter, so what am I left with? A primary component, and that primary component is chayav. So what do you learn from here? Mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, just like an ancillary is chashuv for purpose of a ein tzricha legufa, you're going to be chayiv, so too for the mekalkel b'chabura, not every mekalkel b'chabura is going to be chayiv. You need a mekalkel b'chabura to be chayiv if it includes an ancillary tikkun. That's how Rashi defines the machlokas. Tosfos here disagrees. And Tosfos says, absolutely not true. The whole machlokas is within Shitas Reb Shimon. It doesn't make sense to say, it's ridiculous to say that a machlokas Rabbi Abo and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Puk Tani Lebra, is going on a Shita of the Tanaim. Okay. So if you look here in the Ramban, in the Chidushim, the Ramban has an important ha'ar on Shitas Rashi. The Ramban says, I agree with Rashi on two counts. Number one, I agree with Rashi that the definition of Ein Tzricha Legufa is not based on the Mishkan, it's based on your personal kavana. And I think that this sugya is, number two, I disagree with Tosfos, because I do think this sugya is connected to the malacha of Tzricha Legufa or Ein Tzricha Legufa. However, the Ramban adds something. He says, when do we say that something is called Ein Tzricha Legufa for Reb Shimon? That's when there is no constructive inherent tikkun. When I take the mace out of the room, I really get no benefit. There's nothing that has been accomplished by taking the mace into the Rishus HaRabim to take it over to the cemetery. However, the Ramban says, let's say you have a malacha, which is a maleches siluk. You're getting rid of something, but by doing that siluk, you have a tikkun in the guf hadavar. Then that, says the Ramban, That is called tzricha legufa. What would be a case where you remove something, but by removing it, you have bettered the item in which the thing that was removed
the
was.
Item that I'm moving is improved?
No, the item which remains is improved. Okay, very good. So, no, not really. You haven't improved the living room. There's no.
So the
malacha, the consequence of the malacha is in the mace, as opposed to, says the Ramban, netilas sipornayim. Right, according to Rashi, would a person want their nails to grow? In theory, you could say birtsono lo bolo. I didn't want my nails to grow. I didn't want to be in the situation that I have to trim my nails. So by trimming my nails, isn't that a malach shein tzricha legufa? The Ramban says no. He says that hanotel tziparnayim bekli v'chein svamo shulchaya mishum told it to gozes af al pisha eno tzarech legufa tziparnayim v'aseyar. It's called a malacha hatzricha legufa. And similarly, zora and borer.
What about where I move the dead body into a shady area as opposed to my hot living room? That is better.
That would start.
So that's
nice.
That would be
cool. Okay. So then it's probably malacha tzricha legufa. You're moving it there for the benefit of refrigerating the corpse.
Okay.
So this Ramban, this Ramban is now modifying Shitas Rashi and definition of Ein Tzricha Legufa. When do we say something is Ein Tzricha Legufa? That's when you're not looking at any benefit in the result. But now, if you have benefit in the result, that's called a malacha hatzricha legufa. And what is he given as an example of that? Borer, or zoreh. Because you could ask the question, wait a second, what kind of malacha is the malacha of borer? I didn't want dirt mixed in with my vegetables. I didn't want, you know, moldy green beans mixed in with my salad. So by removing the bad stuff, isn't that, like according to Rashi, isn't that just a malacha she'in tzricha legufa? So Rabban says, no, that's a malacha tikkun. The definition of borer and gozes is it's a malacha tikkun in the chevtza which results. And that's why, perhaps, there's a Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi in Shabbos, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, Yerushalmi says, you can have a person, yesh borer, a person could be borer all day, doing borer all day and not be chayav. Why not? Because they didn't finish borering the pile that they were working on. So if you say that borer is a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and that the shear in borer is taking out the bad stuff, so the minute that I took out a grogeris of bad stuff, I should be chayav. But if you say that no, the din of borer is a maleches tikkun. What's the tikkun? On the ochel that remains. Well, the chiddush of the Yerushalmi is that if I have a pile and it's still not yet mitukan, it's still not yet cleaned out, I'm not chayav. Who is this in contradistinction to? This is in contradistinction to the Balamor, who thinks that these malachos are malachos she'in tzricha legufa. Rakma, they are an exception. And in those cases, even a malachos she'in tzricha legufa is going to be chayav. But according to the Ramban, no. As long as you have the tikkun b'guf hadavar, you now have a malachos tikkun. So it comes out, we actually have a machlokas between what's the nature of these malachos, and it's rooted in understanding the concept of Ein Tzricha Legufa. According to the Ramban, the Hagdar of the malacha of Borer is Tikkun Ochel, whereas according to the Balamor, the Hagdar of the malacha of Borer is Hasaras Hapsolas. But both of them are understanding that we need to look at Ein Tzricha Legufa like Rashi did. It's just that according to the Ramban, you have this new nuance, this new knech, that if you have a tikkun beguf hadavar, that's called tzrich legufa, whereas for the balamor, no. According to the balamor, since the malacha you're doing, birtsono lo balo, so to speak, you didn't really want this in the first place. You would have been much happier if it didn't have this. Therefore, you're just doing a malacha siluk. The chiddush is, nonetheless, that a malacha siluk is a violation. Yes, for Michael.
According to this, you show me.
Yeah.
I have a situation, I have not Yom Shemini, I do a Mila, at least it's an Ma'afim. Would that be other than? Because I have not done a Tikkun.
If you did a Mila on Shabbos, you did a Chov El Mechem. Because you did, because right, you're probably right. Although I would have to go back because there's a Mishnah later on in Shabbos that deals with Toa Bidvar Mishnah when you got confused on what day the Mila was. But in Akhanami, if like the Gemara says, the Gemara concludes that, well, yes. That Ramban, the previous line of that Ramban, because the Ramban says, Mila, your example, is Vade Malacha Tzricha Legufahi, Shut Sarach Sheyadam Zemoho. So he says, Mila is a Malacha Tzricha Legufa. So the question you're asking is, well, what if you didn't accomplish your goal? So that might be a question of Tos, because you didn't actually accomplish the Tikkun that you needed. Right? But the principle of the matter of the concept of Mila being a Malacha Tzricha Legufa is exactly that. So again, we have the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about what is the definition of Malacha Tzricha Legufa, whether it's predicated on the Mishkan like Tosfos or it's Rashi, Bertzono Lo Baholo. But even within Shitas Rashi, it doesn't mean that every time you have a situation that you don't want, that's going to be a Malacha Tzricha Legufa. It could be that subject to the machlokas, the Balamor and the Ramban, where the Chiddush the Ramban is, where you have the Tikkun and the Gufa Davar, that's enough to be considered a Malacha Tzricha Legufa. So this will conclude our introductory Ha'aros. Last time we spoke about Mishkan, Avos and Toldos, Mekalkel. We also spoke about Davashin and Miskavein. So today we tackled Kalachar Yad, Misasek, Maisa Grama, and Ein Tzricha Legufa. And Yirtz Hashem, we will continue on with our Malachos as we move forward.